الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. بلوغ المرام حديث نمبر 2. In this hadith number 2 عن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الماء طهور لا ينجسه شيء أخرجه الثلاثة وصححه أحمد. Narrated أبو سعيد الخدري رضي الله تعالى عنه, may Allah be pleased with him, who said that Allah's messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, whatever or water is pure and nothing can make it impure. This is reported by the three are Abu Dawood, At-Tirmidhi and An-Nasa'i, and Ahmad, Imam Ahmad graded it as sahih, as sound hadith. Okay, now who is the narrator? The narrator is Abu Sa'id Al-Khudri radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Abu Sa'id Al-Khudri's name is Sa'd bin Malik bin Sinan Al-Khudri, in reference, his last name is in reference to a section of the residence of Al-Ansar in Medina. He lived 86 years. He died in the year either 53 or 54 or 55 after Hijrah. In the books of Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, he reported 84 hadiths, and a group of the companions took hadith from him. This is Abu Sa'id Al-Khudri radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, may Allah be pleased with him. He said, water is pure and nothing can make it impure. Water here, he is referring to jinsul ma', meaning water as encompassing all types of water. Tahur means the pure and itself is purifying. Then he said, لا ينجسه شيء, nothing can render it impure. This is a negation, a general negation, and therefore a negation is like in this context is comprehensive. Meaning then, everything that falls in the water, then it will not render it impure or filthy. However, this generality is not intended. There is no doubt that this is not intended. Because if something filthy falls in water and changes it, then it becomes filthy. And this is by way of consensus, as we will learn from the next hadith, inshallah. So this, accordingly, this generalization is restricted by the fact if filth falls in water and it changes it, then it becomes filthy by way of ijma', by way of consensus. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith, in the authentic hadith reported by Al-Bukhari, about the ghee or the cooking shortening fat, if a mouse had fallen in it, then take out the mouse, أَلْقُوهَا وَمَا حَوْلَهَا, take out the mouse and throw away the ghee around it and use the rest. Why? Because it, the mouse, and what surrounds it are filth. Meaning, if it will die, then it will produce an awful smell, stinky smell. And also it will render the fat or the ghee or the shortening, render it rotten. Now, from the benefits of this hadith, first of all, that water is pure and purifying from every filth, whether this type of filth is hard filth like that of the dog, or light filth like that of the baby boy who didn't yet eat the food, or the medium filth between these two extremes. And it is purifying from ritual impurity or from sexual defilement and the like. Now, the second benefit, الأصل في الماء الطهارة, what is established or the basic ruling is that of the purity of water. This means that if we doubt some water, is it pure or filthy, then the basis, we should consider it pure. The fourth benefit, if water is changed by something pure, then it remains pure, because in the hadith the Prophet ﷺ said, لا ينجسه شيء, nothing renders it filthy. The fifth benefit, that water remains, let's leave these questions to the end, please. You are mixing now so many things together, and the topic is in one direction and they are asking in another direction. So let's focus on the topic, Akhi. Water is pure if a person puts his hand in it after waking up from sleep. Although the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام forbade that a person, if he gets up from his sleep, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم ordered that he shouldn't put his hand in the pot until he washes his hand three times. However, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم did not say that the water will be rendered filthy. However, he warned not to immerse the hand in the water. And therefore, since he didn't say that it will render it filthy, then it stays under the generality of the hadith, in the sense that it will remain pure, staying on its purity. The fifth benefit now, the permissibility that the consensus of the Ummah specifies the Sunnah, particularize the generality of the Sunnah, that Ijma' yukhassisu Sunnah. Where is the Ijma'? The Ijma' is with the consensus that if the water is rendered, if it is changed by filth, then it becomes filthy. And this we will learn from the next hadith, which is coming now, hadith number 3. Hadith number 3, reported by Abi Umama al-Bahili رضي الله تعالى عنه. حديث نمبر 3. وعن أبي أمامة الباهلي رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن الماء لا ينجسه شيء إلا ما غلب على ريحه وطعمه ولونه. أخرجه ابن ماجة وضعفه أبو حاتم. وللبيهقي: الماء طهور إلا إن تغير ريحه أو طعمه أو لونه بنجاسة تحدث فيه. Narrated Abu Umama al-Bahili, may Allah be pleased with him, that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, water cannot be rendered impure by anything except something which changes its smell, taste and color. Ibn Majah reported it, and Abu Hatim described it as da'if, as weak. And Al-Bayhaqi reported, water is pure unless any impure thing is added which changes its smell, taste, or color. So this is the hadith now. Who is Abi Umama Al-Bahili? His name is Subay, and his lineage goes to a tribe by the name of Bahila. His father's name is Ajlan. He resided in the city of Homs in Syria. He resided in the city of Homs in Syria, and he died there. He died in the year 81st or 86th of Hijrah, after Hijrah, and he was the last of the companions who died in Asham. He was the last of the companions who died in Asham. Rahimahullah. It was stated that إِنَّ الْمَاءَ لَا يُنَجِّسُهُ شَيْءٍ. Nothing, water cannot be rendered impure by anything. Okay, this part we heard it in the formal hadith earlier. Okay, إِنَّ الْمَاءَ طَهُورٌ لَا يُنَجِّسُهُ شَيْءٍ. So this part is authentic. It was reported by another way. Water is pure and nothing can make it impure. From the hadith of Abi Sa'id, number 2, which we just explained. So if you compare this hadith to the previous hadith, we learn from this that water is pure, nothing renders it impure, and from this you can deduct that the two types of water are limited to either pure or impure or filthy. Then he said in this hadith, except that something which changes its smell, taste, and color. So if the water changes by its smell, the smell of filth, and becomes distinct, then in this case it will become impure. But is it conditional that such prevalence of the smell be apparent to everyone, or if it is apparent only to the few who are not, you know, inflicted with waswas, meaning those who, you know, don't listen to whispers. So if you if it becomes apparent to the few, with the condition that this few are not under such influences of whispers, because those, you know, would start imagining certain things, then it is acceptable to consider it as impure. It is as the same in the condition when some people, even one, would see the hilal, the moon sighting in Ramadan, then the hukum is applicable. Then the ruling is, that's it, then it's Ramadan. And similarly here, so if we find two people, one whose sense of smell is weak and the other is strong, and the latter said that it's changed because of such a smell of filth, then that is sufficient. Also, by taste, people differ greatly with respect to taste. You will find people who are very keen at distinguishing differences in taste. For any least change, they will be able to pick it up. Others, however, they are weak in that sense. They can't distinguish. Except that if this matter is really strongly apparent, the taste. So therefore here, the criteria therefore is, by the medium people or the strong, as long as they are not under such hallucinations or whispers. Similarly, the issue of the color is apparent, it's clear, meaning that recognizing the color, also people differ. Some have keen sight, I mean their sight is strong, others are less. So if one of them affirms this change, then we take by that. If we look at this part of this hadith, then we may understand that the water to be considered impure, that the three qualities must be there to change it. However, the second segment, which is reported by Al-Bayhaqi, indicates in the form, it comes in the form or, meaning if any one of them would change, then that would be the case. So there will be variation, not to be taken collectively, meaning also unless the three are present, the three changes are present, then the water will be considered impure. No, if any one of them is present, then, and it is apparent as discussed earlier, then in this case, no, it's okay, Zamzam. So, and we shouldn't forget that this hadith is weak. The first part of it is authentic, reported by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, but these matters of a change is due to the to one of these effects is by way of ijma', by way of consensus, as Imam al-Nawawi and Ibn al-Munzir and others reported. The hadith has some points of benefit. Number one, the basic ruling regarding the water is that it is pure, and we cannot render it impure unless there is a change, an apparent change, by either color, taste or smell. Also, we know from this that the dalils from the book and the sunnah, each to be taken, or should be taken all together, because all came from one source, meaning the revelation. And we cannot really strike it against each other. So we can learn from this that in the Quran there will be restrictions for certain generalizations and particularization for certain other ones. This exists in the Quran and similarly in the Sunnah, and this is agreed upon. From the benefits is that if water is changed by either taste, smell or odor apparent, then it will be moved in the classification from being pure and purifying to being filthy, impure. And the fourth benefit is that the water is classified into two types only, and this is the correct opinion: pure purifying and filthy. And there is no third classification, which is called Tahiran, Tahir. Although you know, many of the fuqaha, the jurists, are on this opinion that there is a third part which is called Tahir. Tahir, what does it mean, Tahir? It means pure by itself, but not purifying in itself. However, the correct opinion is that the water is either tahur, pure purifying, or najis, or filthy. So if it is pure, then it's purifying to others, to other things, and therefore it's called tahur. And if it is filthy, then it is filthy in itself, and also causing filth to other things. The third one which we talked about is not really based upon the book or sunnah, and it is important to know this distinction. Had this been from the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah would have made that clear, and his messenger very clear. In fact, in the saying, however, in the saying of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, إِنَّ الْمَاءَ طَهُورٌ لَا يُنَجِّسُهُ شَيْءٌ, that water is indeed pure and nothing pure impure renders it impure. From this we know that there is no other third category, and this is evident by the hadith, and this is also the choice of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, who said إِنَّ الْمَاءَ إما طهور وإما نجس وليس ثمة قسم ثالث. ما water is either pure or filthy, and there is no other third category or third type. This alhamdulillah brings therefore the conclusion of the second hadith. So we have covered so far three hadith. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.